Be a part of the Brokers Are Better movement by joining our Facebook group exclusively for the Independent Mortgage Broker channel. It's a place dedicated for AIM members and mortgage professionals to share best practices, network, and help our community grow their companies in a positive way. Head over to facebook.com/groups/brokersarebetter to join. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, welcome to Broker, sponsored by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I am your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors, and today is Dre Day. Got my boy Andreas Munar, Keystone Alliance Mortgage.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you, JP.
So we've known each other for how long now? 4 or 5 years? We're part of a special group that we're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, it is a special group. In order to talk about it, we'd have to kill you first.
Yes, exactly. But you brought your whole squad today, too, right?
I did.
We want to introduce them?
Yeah, absolutely. They can introduce themselves.
So I'm Catherine.
Tatiana.
Nate.
And I'm Adam.
There they are. Now, we're missing Megan.
Yes, we're missing the other half.
Co-founders, right? Your co-founder.
Other half and...
Where's she at?
About another 5 or 6 employees, the Erie team. Mm-hmm. She's out in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So we have an Erie-based team, and then we have a Central PA-based team, but it's still...
And this is Central?
This is my Central PA team, yep. But it's still one team, one goal, one vision, just separate offices.
And so now you're in Puerto Rico, though, right?
I am.
We're going to get into that, because I want to talk more about that, if that's cool with you, because that goes into you trusting your team and all that fun jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I would definitely love to talk about that, for sure.
When did you get in? You look great in those headphones, by the way.
I can't. I hate you.
This interview is going to be kind of tough, because I've known Dre for so long, and all we do is bust each other's chops the whole time, and we're gonna get serious, though.
I just got in on yesterday morning. Yeah, quick, easy little flight.
Yeah, but
hours.
You've been flying. You're everywhere, though. I mean, you got Austin the end of the next month.
So do you.
I do, too. Yeah, as of yesterday. But, yeah, we're going to get into that. But because you can do those type of things with the team around you. I want to dive into that more.
Yeah.
But first, we got to know your story. I know a lot of your story, and we don't have to go crazy into it. I want to know more about your mortgage story, right? If we could start, like, how long have you been in the business? And I want to hear the whole thing.
You want to get into that?
I want to go deep, Dre.
You want to go deep? I got
it. So tell me, how long have you been in the mortgage world?
So I started in the industry in 2006 when I was 22 years old.
Okay.
I had a relationship at the time in state college. He was a real estate agent, mm-hmm. and he had a friend who was a mortgage broker, needed an assistant. Obviously, at the time, it was like the mortgage business was booming.
So it was a brokerage, though?
Yeah.
So you got in as a mortgage broker?
Yeah. So I've been in the industry 13 years, and 10 of those years I've been a broker.
Okay.
So 3 of those years were years
you
that
like to kind of kick out the door. Some of those years.
Yeah. 3 of those years just didn't exist in my life.
Right. All right. So you came in as an assistant.
I did.
Why'd you decide to do mortgage, though? Like, why?
Well, my partner at the time was a real estate agent and said, hey, I've got a friend who needs an assistant. And I was like, I was 22 years old. I was like, sure, I'll try whatever.
Yeah.
And I just literally week one, I just fell in love with it. Before that, I was in the restaurant industry, which was... It was crazy, you know. The restaurant industry is like, it's busy,
fast paced, like the mortgage world.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I could correlate it right away. The phones were ringing off the hook. The fax machine was going off. Mm-hmm. Your emails was going off. You know,
and you like that adrenaline. Right away. You kind of need that, right? Yeah. But we see that a lot in our industry where, I've talked to a lot of people sitting right here, and we talk about who to recruit, and a lot of people like do not, especially in today's day and age, don't recruit within the industry, mm-hmm. find someone outside of the industry and kind of mold them to what you want it to be. And a lot of it comes from the restaurant world.
Yeah.
Because they're so service based.
Yeah.
They run side by side, right?
Yeah. Two of the people that I recruited actually are from the restaurant industry because, mm-hmm. you know, they're used to working.
Any 50, of these guys? 60,
yeah, two of them, Tatiana and Catherine.
Really? Okay.
You know, they're used to working 50, 60 hour weeks. Mm-hmm. They're used to working nights, holidays, weekends. And so for me, it's like, if you're willing to put that kind of hustle in mm-hmm. to a 50, 60 hour week job, why wouldn't you just come to the mortgage industry and really put that hustle in and work a little less, still have your nights and your weekends.
Mm-hmm. More self-satisfying too. For sure. I mean, it's great, you know, you're a server, you're bringing, this, I've never worked in the restaurant world, but you know, here's your food, here's a drink. That's great and all, you're making people happy, but like you're literally putting people into houses. I mean,
yeah,
it's more satisfying. That's no BS. That's a little, it's amazing. I mean, you've told the stories. I follow you on Facebook, obviously. You tell them all.
Yeah.
It's great. All right, so
it's great.
It's awesome. So you got in. How long were you at that spot as an assistant? What were you doing as an assistant?
As an assistant, I was basically doing everything for him because he basically. So back then, it was like you put an ad in the Yellow Pages and mm-hmm. your phone was just ringing off the hook, right? You put 100% financing and your phone was just ringing off the hook. I mean, you had a 550 credit score. It was like, sure, go find whatever house you want.
This is 2006. This is before the crash. Anything was kind of doable.
Yep, everything was doable.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of just taught me a little bit, and then I was doing everything for him. I was taking applications, submitting loans. You didn't need to be licensed back then either.
Right.
So it was, you know, everything, literally everything. And then since my partner at the time was a real estate agent, I realized the potential of money that I could make being a loan officer versus being an assistant. So I went to the owner and I said, hey, I'd like to become a loan officer. My partner at the time was sending him, you know, 2 or 3 deals a month.
Mm-hmm.
And back then you could do like a 50-50 split, a 50-60 split. And so I saw that and I was like, why would I stay your assistant when I could just have my boyfriend at the time mm-hmm. send me business and make more income? So I approached him about that and he said no. And so I split off, and that was probably about a year later. I went to another mortgage broker.
What was the name of the first company? Still in existence?
It does not exist. It was Access Home Lending.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I went to Apple Mortgage.
Apple Mortgage? Are they still around?
They're not
around. I like that name, though.
Yeah, it's got a nice little ring to it.
We ate apples before we walked in here.
What a coincidence, right?
Yeah, right? So Apple Mortgage, was that a brokerage?
Yeah, it was a brokerage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been broker. I mean, except for those 3 years. You had your hiccup, which I know a little bit about. You've been broker for a while.
Yeah, I've been a broker for 10 years. I really just love the broker model. I love the ability to switch a loan from one broker to from one lender to another mm-hmm. lender. I love the options as far as rates go, service goes. You know, I've dabbled obviously in retail, but it's kind of like you get stuck in that. That like mm-hmm. if once it's a no,
You're done.
And that's it.
Yeah, I remember when I was in retail, you know, it's a funky loan. It's getting towards the end. And you know, when something's funky at the end, you just want it either gone or just let's close it. And you're just like, you got to go. Like, you start calling other mortgage guys or girls and being like, yo, just take this. Here's what you got to do. I don't even want it. I don't care if I get paid. Just get it done.
Yeah.
In the broker world, you can flip that and you have all the info and it's staying in-house. Yeah, we could talk about that all day, but that's one of the benefits. Sure. All right, so Apple Mortgage, you were there.
Yep.
For how many years?
I was at Apple Mortgage from 2007 till probably about another year.
Okay.
And then there was this big mortgage broker in town.
So this is like 2008 when the shit kind of hit the fan.
So yeah, that's it. So 2008, I went to Priority Mortgage, and they're a huge mortgage broker. Like, they were one of the biggest in Pennsylvania.
Are they still around?
They're not. He went to jail for embezzlement.
Whoa.
And stuff like that. So that was 2008. In 2009, December of 2009, I was on vacation in Florida, and I got a call from my manager. My manager said, you can go ahead and file for unemployment. The police or whatever mm-hmm. just came in and shut us down.
Wow. So
that was December of 2009. And then in 2010, I actually was like, okay, I'm just kind of done with the mortgage business. And I had decided I was going to go back to school to become an accountant. So I had applied.
I can't see you as an accountant.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't see it.
I'm good with numbers.
No, you are great with numbers.
I'm kidding. Accounting. Can you see that, Dre, the accountant? To do with numbers.
Anybody?
Nothing. No?
I don't know. It's tough.
Maybe.
Possibly.
No, just sitting behind a desk. Like
you can do anything you put your mind to, Dre.
That's so cheesy.
All right, so you were going to go back to school.
Yeah, so I applied to Penn State. I got into Penn State. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's just what I'm going to do. And so part of my story is also that I'm undocumented. And when I applied to Penn State was like, okay, we need proof of your citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I had gotten accepted, and I actually got accepted directly to the School of Business, which I forget what it's called.
Smeal.
Yep, I'd gotten accepted right to Smeal, and that's what I was going to do. But then their paperwork, you know, said, hey, we need proof of your citizenship. And I was like, oh, about that.
Yeah.
And
you just really, just this past year, 2019, you really started talking more about that.
I did. I met a mentor last year who really brought me out of my shell as far as, you know, this is your story, that's your truth. You know, nobody can take that away from you. And just last year.
I mean, not to get off topic, but I mean, that's one thing I love about you. I mean, you post to what, 8:30 in the morning, I think. And seriously, man, I read your stuff. I have so much respect for you of what you've done. I've seen your journey over the past 4 or 5 years of all the different things you've done. We won't start naming names, but you were out in, I don't know, Arizona over here trying to find yourself here. And you're constantly working on yourself. You're just with Renee, right? Rodriguez, right?
Yep.
My poppy.
Yeah.
I want to be a poppy.
You're a poppy chulo. He named you a poppy chulo.
Yeah, but that's what's really cool, and what I respect about you is you're constantly trying to evolve, right? And I've seen your evolution over the years. Seriously, I mean, that's one thing. I follow you in the morning. I look at, because you do that quote or whatever you do, and you spend the time to really write out what that quote means to you. And they're pretty, I don't want to say in your face, but it's truth, man. They're deep, right? They're deep, and it's truth. I think that's one thing you'll get back to. It's simplicity and just the truth, right?
Yeah.
And we'll dive into that more again, but that just popped up, and I wanted to make sure I said that. I wanted to talk about that beginning. That I really respect that about you.
No, I appreciate that.
All right, so accountant. I went to school to become
an accountant, and Penn State was like, all right, we need proof of your citizenship. And I was like, oh, that's that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
That's not going to work out. So then I started searching online for lenders that would let me work for them, because at this point, Apple Mortgage had shut down, Access Home Lending had shut down. You know, this was the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest broker in State College had shut down.
Yeah.
And are we allowed to say lender names? I guess. I
mean, you can do whatever you want here.
I worked.
Yeah.
I worked there. Then I reached out to Freedom Mortgage.
Okay.
And this is then when the whole net branch thing was big.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my production, I was doing like 2 or 3 loans a month.
What's this, 2011-ish? 10-ish?
2010-ish.
10-ish.
Yeah, 2010.
I didn't get in until 2011, bro.
In the business?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I've only been 9 years, yeah. Still don't know what the hell I'm doing.
2011 still seems like it was yesterday, but when you look at like 2011, 2020, that was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I got in right when the comp changes. I started Wells Fargo. So right when you could only get paid on one side, remember? Yeah. That's like when I got in. I had no taste of this, anything beforehand.
Is that where you started, as Wells?
Wells, yeah. I had an in there, so I was there for like a couple years, and that was a shit show. So then I had to leave and go somewhere else. But we're babbling, so go back.
And I applied at Freedom, and Freedom was like, here, we'll give you your own branch. And I was like,
really?
Oh,
it was in that branch things. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a period of time. And
so you were running a P&L and doing all that fun stuff. And you were doing like 2 or 3 loans a month.
Yeah.
And it was just you.
It was just me.
Yeah. Okay. And they gave you a branch. Okay.
But that's when I started to realize like there's got to be more than being able to do 2 to 3 more loans.
And plus you're running a P&L. So you're starting to see like numbers.
I am.
Right. So I can see the evolution occurring right now of where you're.
And that's exactly where it basically started. Was in 2010, they gave me a branch, and then I was only doing 2 or 3 loans, and they were like, are you going to do more? And I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But then that's kind of where it started as far as I've got to do more activities, right? So then what happened was I picked up the phone. I called one real estate broker. I did a presentation for them. One of their agents liked me.
Mm-hmm.
They started using me. And then from there, they started talking to other agents in their office, and that kind of just gave me the confidence to reach out to other real estate brokers and start mm-hmm. doing presentations. So that was from like 2010 to 2012. I started doing a few more transactions. Then in 2012, we were still kind of going through that, the recession period.
Yeah.
So 2012, then it was December.
Yeah, we no, were, because rates sorry. Were still pretty low at that point in time.
Yeah.
11 to 12, I remember. I yes. did a ton of FHA streamlines at Wells Fargo. They took 6 months to close, but.
I didn't even know what a streamline was until I got into the broker world, oh, yeah. actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's you, weird.
Is it weird? Actually, I didn't even know FHA existed until after 2010, because 2006 to like 2010
well,
was subprime.
Right, so you didn't FHA even have that. Anyway, no, okay.
It didn't exist.
That's good to know. I didn't know that.
And then in 2012,
mm-hmm.
yep, at the beginning, just January of 2012, Freedom said, and I actually, this is the first time I think I'm ever going to publicly say this.
Whoa.
Only a few people know this.
We have one of those like noise things we can do right now. That like fuck noise. Those noise. They had all those. All right, just go ahead. They were playing all these noises back here, Ricky, my boy. Okay.
January of 2012, I was working and rates were good. Like uh-huh. my pipeline was filling up. Uh-huh. I was super excited. And my email stopped working.
What, they just cut you off?
I was like, what's going on? I mean, I literally probably had like 15 loans in the pipeline.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was like super excited.
And you're
like,
still a one man shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to have a big year.
Uh-huh.
And then my email stopped working and I was like, this is weird. So I called up here to the New Jersey office and I was like, I can't yeah. get into any of my systems. And they were all like, oh, well, we're going to have Lynn call you. So Lynn was the operations manager for the branches. And I knew that something was wrong as soon as they were like, well, Lynn's going to have to call you about this.
Uh-huh.
And she called me back and she said, yeah, we're letting all the branches go that aren't doing at least $1 million in production. And I mean, me doing 2 or 3 loans a month, I was not right. doing.
But you were ramping up.
Yes.
Of course.
And that's exactly how right I remember off. It, especially when you said rates were low, because I remember that January uh-huh. I had like 15 loans mm-hmm. in the pipe. I was like, and I was begging her. I was like, Lynn, I've got 15 loans. Like, I'm going to turn the.
So what happened with those loans? They just kept them?
So
and they just cut you off? Like, how's that work?
They cut me off. They finished it. And that was a battle. That was the first time I had a battle with understanding the fact that, you know, a company had cut me off. They wanted to keep the money in my P&L. And it was a battle to get that money from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is that they were working with me through all those loans, right? So their in-house people were reaching out to me, keeping me updated, asking me what, you know. And then at the end, when those loans funded, I was like, okay, I want my money. They were like, no. So I had to fight with them and fight with them. And eventually I did
get
their
money. I remember this story. I didn't know it. I think you maybe talked about it a little bit. I didn't know it was Freedom.
Yeah.
And I mean, we don't want to keep naming names, but then the next one later on we could talk about and kind of the same situation a little bit.
Yeah, down the road.
But anyway, Freedom. So then where'd you go after that?
Freedom.
After no email.
After Freedom, I had been approached. This story could go on forever.
I just want to get to where you're at now, because I'm really trying to get to how you started your shop, then you left and came back because you realized you were in a perfect. Shouldn't have done it.
So after that happened, then I got approached by somebody else, by somebody else.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, I'm opening up a broker. I just mm-hmm. opened up a broker shop. Can you come on board and help me open it? I was like, sure. And that's really when, again, I had already started taking off. So I had built that confidence that I could do loans, right? So then I went to this broker shop. And by the end of 2014, the broker shop I went to was also a partnership with a real estate company. So I thought I was going to get even more business. Right. And then by the middle of like 2014, I mean, my business had just completely taken off. I had hired an assistant and I understood the fact of hiring an assistant was taking me to the next level. So I went to that owner and I said, hey, 95% of the pipeline that I've brought you in at this point has been my production. Mm-hmm. You know, your agents aren't handing me business. You're not feeding me business. It's all my production. I need a little bit more of a raise. And I was paying for my own assistant. It was coming out of my gross
pay. Yeah, of course.
Which I was fine with because I started to understand and grasp, you know, business. And mm-hmm. he told me no. And so then in 2014, my assistant and I said, it's time.
Peace, we're out.
To make a move, yeah. Right. So we unfortunately didn't get the last say. He got wind that we were going to make a move. Mm-hmm. And one day in August of 2014, our email stopped working. And in 2 seconds
seems
later.
Seems to be a constant for you here, Dre.
It is. And 2 seconds later, he walked in. And he said, I got wind that you guys are leaving.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We were like, yep, we are. And so we parted ways. And again, that became a battle for my own money.
Yeah,
went to court, so on and so forth. So in 2014, I opened up Moonar Mortgage.
Right.
Back then. And that's how I kind of started my own business.
Right. And then in between, you're running hard. Now, in this industry, it goes in waves sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, there was a lot of brokers, and then they're gone. Then the banks kind of took over. And then it went to those like smaller correspondents, right?
Yeah.
And now it's kind of swinging back to that broker world, right?
Absolutely.
So you were kind of ahead of this schedule. Like right now, brokers are hot.
Yeah.
You know, brokers are better, the whole thing. Yeah. You were ahead of it, but then you saw the correspondent type the correspondent lenders were hot. You jumped over for a little bit, but then realized broker was the best spot for you.
For me personally, yeah. So 2014, I opened up the shop, Moonar Mortgage. 2016, so I really believe in coaching and training and all of that. So in 2013, I got a coach, and I had met a lady in Florida who also owned a broker shop in Pennsylvania. And we stayed in constant contact. So in 2016, when she decided to leave her business partner, we had always kept in contact, and she needed a place to at least hang her license.
Sure.
So I said, hey, I'll sponsor you. Like, come on board, and, you know, you do your own thing. And then whenever you decide whatever you want to do, like, that's fine. Because that's what somebody had done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Before I went off on my own, I said, hey, I need a place to hang my license until I can figure out some stuff. And that person said yes. So I did the same for her. And what ended up happening in 2016 is she ended up actually becoming my business partner. Her name is Megan Marsh.
Yep.
She's out of Erie.
Megan's great.
She's by far the best thing that has happened to me. She's incredible. So 2016, we joined forces, and we are total opposites, which is really why we get along. She's like this dominant, aggressive D1 athlete woman, mother of four.
Four kids. I remember speaking with her in Atlantic City, and yeah, she's an amazing
woman.
She's
a beast.
Yeah.
She's a beast. Really privileged. And then I'm the total opposite, right? I'm like this docile, super friendly, super like lovey-dovey kind of guy.
I kid.
Have you seen me? Have you seen this face?
Yeah, look at that. Got the fade going, looking good.
The Puerto Rican fade.
I like it,
man. Puerto Rican beard.
Yeah.
And so 2016, that happened. And we put our minds that 2017 was going to be an incredible year.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened. I brought on a bunch of people. And 2017 was an incredible year for us, and we were being looked at by some prospective lenders
who
wanted us to jump ship, and we took that ship. And we took that ship because Megan and I truly believed that it was the best move for not just us, but for
right,
our people.
Right, of course. And who was were these guys with you at the time?
Everybody was with
everybody?
Me except Catherine. Or no, Catherine. Yeah. Catherine did come with. Shoot. Yes, she was.
That's really cool.
In January. So all of my people came with us. And that was really the reason we made the move, was because it was me and Megan were going to step out of originating. So we were going to become to recruiting. Our loan partners were then going to become loan officers. So everybody was going to take a step up.
Yeah.
And that in the end for us was the end goal, was how can we move everybody to step up? How can, you know, everybody make more money? How can everybody have more fun? And
it sounded like, I mean, we don't have to talk names, but that model sounded like the right move at the time.
For everyone. For everyone. It was supposed to be the right move. And I had made moves before, and I knew what I was getting myself into. So I wanted to be very careful. We asked a ton of questions. It was 6 months of going back and forth and flying down there and us talking to tons and tons of people. And, you know, we obviously talked to our team. The culture was who we were fit. And that to me was really important. So for the most part, or actually all of it, the culture is really important to us as far as, are you a culture fit for our company. So when we were going to make this move, it was very important that the culture and the vision and what they stood for and what we stood for matched, mm-hmm. and it matched 200%.
Yeah, what's really cool is you have your own, I mean, obviously you own the company now, but even when you were deciding to leave, you know, mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. You had your culture. That's more important than, that's what was probably weird. You have this culture that had to fit another company's culture.
Yeah.
And then I think eventually that's why we pulled everyone back out and just went back to only our culture.
Well, that's the thing, is that the culture that, you know, was preached to us, that we're, mm-hmm. we were being sold.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Ended up not being. So we parted ways. And once again,
now we're Keystone Alliance.
So you can only guess what happened.
Once again, our emails three times. Yeah. Third time's a charm, man.
I didn't even think about it. Third time is a charm. Now, this is the third time it happened.
Dude, I keep saying, like, this is the company that I started. Like, this is it. If this doesn't work out, I'm not going back and working. I'm out.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm not saying it's not going to work out. I'm just saying this is my last shot, man. I'm turning off my own email.
How that works?
Yeah, I'm going to walk in and be like, did I just turn off my email? That's not what's going on. All right, so now we're here. We're up to date, right?
Yeah.
Keystone Alliance. We're back. You guys are running the company. You have your own culture. It was the best decision for you, right?
Without a doubt.
Now, I know you're living in Puerto Rico now, and culture is big for you, right? Mm-hmm. So has there been difficulties with that right now, that you're out there and you have a good culture? Like, how do you work that? I'm curious. I mean, I know your people love you.
No, it hasn't been difficult at all.
That's awesome.
Super.
That's because you have such a tight knit group of people right here. I mean, I can tell. I've met them all before. They're unbelievable.
I'll let them speak. Like,
I would love to. Yeah. How's it been since Dre kind of left to figure out, because he has his own vision for his own life. But like we've talked about, dude, it's people over profits, and that's no bullshit.
No,
like that's legit, and that's what Dre does. But like we always know, you have to get yourself right so everyone else can be right first, right?
Yeah.
So that's how you do it. But how's it been? I mean, and be straight up. I mean, I'm sure you've had plenty of discussions. I'm sure when he said that, you guys were like, what? Like, what? Really? Like, how's it been? I mean, does anyone want to touch on that? Of when you first heard that he was going to go to Puerto Rico and you guys had to hold down a fort, were you like, or what?
I mean, one of the things that, you know, when you talk about, you know, Dre, I mean, and realistically, you know, he had an idea and he went on vacation to Puerto Rico. And kind of came back and was like, hey, guys, while I was down there, I signed a lease on a place. But, you know, right now we kind of operate, you know, as one team. But even within the central PA market, you know, we have multiple offices. And, you know, Catherine and Tatiana work out of Harrisburg most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, Nate's working out of State College most of the time. I'm in probably State College most of the time, occasionally in Harrisburg. You know, I kind of live in between. You know, we have office in Bedford, Pennsylvania. So, you know, we kind of have experience with that, you know, kind of that creating a virtual you know, office and an experience that, you know, drives that culture, you know, that we have, while not necessarily physically being in the same place all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I work a lot like with the Erie team as well. And obviously I'm not out there. So
this is the beauty of technology right now. Like I always, every time I go away, like I'm always pumped to get away from my kids, my wife and kids, but to go on a little vacation. I was just out there and I FaceTime with the kids all the time. And like it's legit. Technology is, you know, use it to your benefit. And that's what it seems like you guys are doing. And you're not losing a step either.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, I mean, you know, we see Dre, you know, daily pretty much virtually, but you know, he's able to it's kind of be down there and we know, you know, that he loves State College and he loves Harrisburg, but you know, we know kind of where his heart is and you know, from a physical location standpoint.
Does he rub it in your face? Like, oh, look at the sun.
No. He really tries not to.
He tries not to.
It does it itself sometimes. It's, you know, you see like the beach in the background, but no, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that, I mean, all of us coming on, like Tatiana and Catherine having known Andre before, Nate and I having worked for him for a few years, I mean, you couldn't ask for, you know, the epitome of a servant leader, you know, more than him. So, When you talk about a guy who's willing to just kind of get down there in the mud with us, if that's what's required, you know, just, we just have a whole new like love and respect for him being able to, you know, we want that for him, you know, we want him to be able to kind of live his best life.
If it's,
you know, being able to run the company from wherever he, you know, wants to. And, yeah.
So. Yeah. It's well said, man. I mean, yeah. I mean, everyone watching or listening, I mean, you could feel it in here, man. I'm quitting. I'm coming working with you guys. Buy me out, Dre. But no, you can feel the love. I mean, and that's what, I mean, that's what most people, when they start a company, they have a bigger goal. It's, yeah, a lot of times it's about making money, but when you have your own vision, man, and you can have a whole family around you and work and everyone makes good money, how cool is that? Why not have it all?
Yeah.
And I know that's what I think all you guys want. Why not have it all?
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love it.
That's a great way to explain it.
Yeah, like right?
Family.
Yeah.
That's, I was going to say, yeah, we're not we even coworkers. We're
How
we're
cool family. Is that? Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I know your story a little bit, Nate. I mean, you've killed it the past couple of years. I remember Dre talking about it, right? Can you touch on that of where maybe you went from in the past couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I got hired as a marketing assistant back in 2015 when Dre was just starting out
with
his company. And, you know, I get a call from Andre the week before I'm about ready to start saying, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, I'm going to be your boss now because I just let go of who or your boss was going to be. I was like, oh, all right. Well, okay. My first week there, started working. And one of the guys, one of the people that was still on the team then at that time, he was leaving he got like into like the World Series of Poker or something out in Vegas. So he was out like that Thursday and Friday.
Uh-huh.
Monday, the following week comes around, that dude doesn't show up for work. And I'm like, I said to Andre, I said, Andre's like calling his guy's mom and dad, like making sure he's okay. Cause he didn't hear from him, nothing.
Yeah.
Eventually the guy got back to Andre. He's like, oh yeah, I quit.
Oh, yeah. What was his role in the company?
He was a processor.
He was a processor?
Yeah, he was a processor.
Okay, got you.
So
he wasn't happy because I had fired his friend, so he decided not to show up.
I understand. Yeah.
So here I am, a guy with no knowledge about mortgages whatsoever, you know, coming in to do marketing. I'm getting thrown in to help process loans. And I said to Andre, I still remember what I said to him today. I said, man, I feel terrible. I come in, two people got fired within my first week of being here. I was like, I hope that's not a bad omen.
right.
But, you know, so, you know, as it's gone on, I, you know, was thrown in to help work on loans because it was me, Andre, and one other person that was working on loans.
She got fired eventually, too.
She did get fired eventually, too.
Well, she tried to throw a water bottle at me.
What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
She sent me to a closing that was not clear to close.
Oh,
and she sent the realtors and the clients. There were no docs. The loan was not clear to close. And she, yeah, anyways.
Go ahead. You gave it to her and then you got a water bottle thrown.
Okay. She tried to.
Anyways. All right. Ooh, okay. Sorry,
yeah. Go ahead, Nate.
So then it came down to, there was four of us at that time when that person got fired and it went back to three. And then we hired somebody again quickly and, things like that. But, you know, just progressively, you know, 20, I think now what this is 2020, I think it was 2017. Yeah, 2017. I work a part-time job too with a local newspaper back in State College.
Cool.
And, I had just gotten told I was gonna get laid off that summer, came out of complete surprise. So I actually was able to take that summer time and I worked towards, studying for my mortgage license test and I got licensed and everything. Hardest test I've ever taken in my life. Hardest test I've ever prepared for in my life.
As it should be, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep some of the nimwits out of this industry.
So, you know, for me to, you know, to do something like that and get the score that I did on that test for my first time taking the test, you know, I was extravagant. You know, I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just continually progressively gotten better and better with not only my life because of the influence that Andre has had on me. You know, to this day, he's told these folks that, you know, where I'm the branch manager now of these three central Pennsylvania offices.
That's
when,
awesome.
When he brought me in, he never envisioned me leading a team.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am leading a team, you know, and things like that. But, you know, I can't take all that credit because that's not all on me. That's also him, you know, taking that time and, you know, putting that into me.
Yeah. So right now you're branch manager of a couple different locations.
State College, the Harrisburg, and the Bedford office.
Yeah, could everyone tell me the role right now in the company? You want Catherine?
Okay, so I am executive assistant. title, order title, appraisal, cool. homeowner insurance. I don't strictly stay to that. Kind of, if anybody needs help.
You're like a jack of all trades. Yeah, you step in.
So my role is not particularly just that. It's stepping in when someone needs it. So I can be free, you know, do close packages, whatever. And I'll be like, hey, guys, do you guys need something? Like, what do you need me to look at? What do you want me to do? And they're like, oh, well, I don't. You don't have to. And I'm like, dude, I'm free. Just let me help you out. So that way we can all be free. You know what I mean? I don't want to just be behind the desk and be, you know, oh, wow, I don't have anything to do while these guys are over here. Like, oh, I got to take this out. I got to pull credit. I got to do this. I'm just like, dude, let me know what needs to be done. And I just fit in wherever it needs to be. You know, those gaps, I just go in and.
I mean, that's super important. I mean, obviously, you guys are lucky to have her because that's a quality right there where someone that wants to do something. Like, it's tough to find. It's tough to hire, man. You know, right? I mean, you're like one out of 100.
It's kind of higher. Like the restaurant industry. I mean,
kind of goes back to that.
Like, we'd have busy nights. We have five servers, and we're still all slammed.
Yeah, but you do what you got to do.
Right.
And you're going to step in.
So you see somebody needs to get 10 waters, and they have an order taken. And you're just like, dude, just let me know what you need, and I'll fill it up for you. It's kind of the same thing here. Like, whatever you need, I don't want you guys drowning. I want to be able to help you guys.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to be there just, let me watch some YouTube or something. No, let me help you guys out so that way you guys can be freed up. You know what I mean?
Can we kind of use that? I'll be honest, like when we're looking for people, you know, to hire, you guys talk about, you know, we don't a lot of times necessarily care, you know, if people have mortgage industry experience, like, and Catherine is kind of a model for that. Like, we look for that quality, right? Like if somebody has that quality of like, they're like, no, I'm going to get stuff done and I'm going to be a team player and I'm going to support people where they need to be supported because I know with the culture and the team that has been built that I'm going to be supported, you know, whenever I need it, stuff like that. Everything else is just
details. It's just good to know. And it goes back to culture. Like we've all been probably in some with companies or cultures where you're always looking over your back. Like, is this person going to do something? Are they going to not do something? Do I have to do it? You know how much brain power that wastes just thinking all that BS in your head?
Mentally exhausting.
It's mentally exhausting and nothing really gets done. You can't thrive. You can't move up. So that's a really good point. Like no one's worried about it. You're just jumping in and just doing it. And someone's got your back, like you just said. Yeah. That's huge.
And although we've never vocalized it in my head, it's, you know, if you have the mentality of, well, that's not my job, then to me, that's grounds for termination.
Yeah. So you have. And I'm sure everyone, you said you don't really talk about it, but I'm sure in your own head, and it's probably just common sense. Like, you got stuff in your head. If someone does, like, that's it.
Yeah.
And you have to hold people accountable. You talk about that a bit. I want to talk to Tatiana soon, though. But, I mean, like you just said, like, Megan is more of the type A personality,
she's
right?
She's a D on the DISC profile. Okay. Yeah, and I'm an I.
Right. But you've hired and fired people, and you hold people accountable. That's hard to do, right? Is it hard for you to do? It's hard for me to do.
It is. And we talk about that. We're a super open book. Like, I promise you could ask them anything and they would be able to answer it just as well as I could because, you know, I've worked for lots of bad bosses and that's not the way that I would ever want to run a company, or it's not the way I would ever want to make feel people. And I tell them sometimes when I'm having a serious conversation with them as far as like, guys, this is why we do it, or this is why I need you to do it, or it needs to be done this way. I tell them, I said, I'm telling you this because this is the business aspect of it. It's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't care about you. It's not because you're doing a bad job. It's not because we suck. It's not because we're horrible. It's because I need us to be better. And this is the business aspect of it. And I think that as long as you explain that kind of stuff to your people, that this is why I'm telling you this instead of
going at them.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a totally different approach because so many times, I mean.
And it's easier for you to talk to people when you're not saying, listen, you didn't do this.
Yeah.
No, this is how we should do it. And this is why, because it's going to make us all better. Right.
Yeah.
So communication is so key in any business, but especially the fast paced mortgage business and people having each other's back and trusting each other.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Did you get that? Okay. Tatiana.
Did you get that?
You don't do anything for the company, right?
I don't. I'm watching YouTube videos. So I'm one of Andrea's loan partners.
Cool.
So.
That's being a little modest. She brings in some of her own deals.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like Catherine said, we really do a little bit of everything. Uh-huh. Like, we're cross-trained when Catherine's out. I'll be the one to order title, insurance, whatever. That's what I love about working here. Catherine and I came from the restaurant mm-hmm. industry, and when I managed our team, like, we were all in it together as a team. Moving over to Keystone Alliance Mortgage, same aspect. So Catherine and I fit right in. We're very team-oriented, and that's what I love about it. Whether it's Adam, Nate, very always there to answer mm-hmm. any questions. Like Andre says, we win as a team and we lose as a team. So it's not like if I'm working on a loan or Nate's working on a loan, it's not like, oh, you didn't do something or I didn't do something. It's like, okay, guys, this is what we missed or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to get 1% better. Andre harps on that mm-hmm. for us to, you know, always try 1%.
That's awesome. Adam, what's your role?
So Tatiana, like what she spoke to, you know, she's the loan partner. So she is that direct to client communication.
Okay. So you're structuring a lot of the deals too, and talking right with the client. Okay, cool.
Yes. So
that's about the only thing that Catherine's like, listen, if you can talk directly to the clients,
that's fine. I'll talk to the, you know,
Catherine's like, I will literally do everything else.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, they're busy and I need to talk to a client.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very uncomfortable because I just don't like talking to clients, but I'll get over it. Mm-hmm. I call, I do what I have to do, and that's it.
So, so I talk to clients a lot. We work Hispanic, so Spanish has been my first language. We do a lot of Spanish deals.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so
JP,
thankful.
If you have any Spanish deals, just go ahead and send them over. Thank
Almost
you.
Done.
What? No.
Okay.
Before in the restaurant, you know, the only thing that I used Spanish for was to talk to the kitchen in the back.
Okay.
And I was always like, oh, Spanish, like I can use that. So now that I'm able to use it, that's so huge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to help the Spanish community, that's like, okay, this is why my mom brought me here to the United States to help my own people. So I'm
extremely
just,
underserved market.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And it's not even just clients that like only speak Spanish. I mean, there are some of those too, but it's just like when you talk about the culture that we're trying to have and the comfortability that we want our clients to have. So like there are a good number of people who like they would just prefer, right, to speak Spanish because that's their first language and that's like what makes them feel comfortable.
I mean, everyone talks about it being a transaction, but it's not, man. People are buying a house. It's where they're putting their family. It's a
relationship.
Yeah, 100% all day. That's awesome.
And Tatiana is amazing at that.
Yeah. I want to know what you do more, and then I want to ask, I kind of want to go deep with once a loan comes in, mm-hmm. I want to go through the whole process, but give us your role.
Yeah,
Adam.
So I'm the director of operations. So kind of like the way we have it set up. So like Nate's the branch manager at Central PA. So if it is, you know, physically like loan related, right? Like Nate's going to take that. Nate's mm-hmm. going to run with that.
You're producing too, obviously, Nate, right?
No, I'm not producing.
Okay, so you're not producing.
I'm a loan partner. So I'm a loan partner too. So,
okay.
You know, I'm handling
some of the same things
I'm doing the same stuff Tatiana is.
Okay. The team.
Yeah, because I mean, I know the process from beginning to end because I got thrown into it. So I know.
Yeah, you know.
And he started doing a lot of the similar things that like Catherine did. So like when Nate first, he got hired as marketing assistant. But like within a week, he was doing a lot of the back end stuff.
Filling
in wherever.
Yep.
You know, that was back in the day where like, for each loan, you had to spend an hour filling up a DocuSign document to send to somebody. Uh-huh. You know, that was, we joke, that was probably 30 of your 50 hours a week.
Probably.
was building DocuSign packages and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So Nate's doing some of those things while kind of running the team. But I work just as much with the Erie team, you know, as I do the Central PA team.
Got it.
And I've said this before, my goal is to, go back to Catherine's kind of Swiss Army knife analogy is do, you know, anything and everything that I need to do so that Andre and Megan can do whatever it is they want or need to do.
Okay.
So from the daily, like running the business perspective, whether it's, you know, hiring, firing, payroll, you know, benefits, you know, a lot of times, you know, Nate or Monica, who is Nate's counterpart in Erie, you know, will come to me and just like, hey, we have this like super weird deal we got to try to figure out. So when I started with Andre, you know, I was a loan partner as well.
Okay.
And you know, it was like similar thing. You walk in the door and Andre's like, hey dude, you know, I had to let somebody go like a month ago. Here's 25 files. We're super busy. I'm going to need you to go ahead and take care of those. But you know, so I've done like, you know, I've hopefully they think that I'm very, you know, I know what that's like. Like when you're in the thick of it, you know, loan file wise, and it's like, I have 4 files closing tomorrow and they're all a mess. Everybody's a mess. Everything's on fire, you know, that kind of thing. But so I do like, you know, one of the things that I'm passionate about is I like to put the puzzle together. So like, I do like it when these guys will bring me like those weird scenarios and like, hey, okay, let's try to figure it out. Let's, you know, there's gotta be a way to make this work kind of thing. But yeah, so I, you know, like I said, my goal is to, from the daily operations that Andre and Meg don't have to be weighed down, so that they can do things like, you know, push the brand, right? Come to AIM headquarters, podcast, network, relate. You know, they're working on, which maybe is a topic for a separate podcast, but they're, you know, they're working on some different, you know, lines of business and things like that for the company that, you know, are just going to help just this mortgage thing grow. Yeah, so that's my goal, so that, you know, they can live their best life and Meg can spend time with her kids and Andre can spend time in Puerto Rico. How awesome is
it? I mean, again, I mean, you could feel it in here. I mean, we've had some groups in here I've met and they're all well and good, but you can feel this is a unique group of people. You know, I'm not, you know.
Are you bullshitting me?
No, I'm not bullshit. I'm not. Sure? I tell you, I'm not. It's not to everybody, unique.
Ricky.
I'm jealous right now.
See?
I mean, this
is. Say that to everybody.
No, what, Ricky? Unbelievable.
Does he say that to everybody?
You know, the first timer right here. No, I mean, I'm jealous. I mean, we just started a year ago, basically, and me and my brother.
How's that going?
It's going well.
Yeah, but, you like the broker side?
But I mean, I love the broker side. What are you interviewing me now?
Wait,
no, but
turning the tables
I'm
here.
I'm very.
Can you introduce yourself?
Blessed. Hey, JP Hudson. I'm very blessed to be able to talk with everyone, and this puts a fire under my ass to go and do certain things. That's why I ask him, like, yeah, like holding people accountable. Like I'm literally taking pieces from everything you're saying and selfishly putting them in my head to go steal all of them.
Yeah.
Right. But no, you can feel it, man. I mean, it's really cool.
Well, I think that's important. What you just said is, you know, is taking pieces of, you know, what we're saying. Cause one of the things that I get asked is, you know, how did you build this? Like, how did you get to this point? Like,
yeah.
And it's,
yeah. Know, how can you touch on that? Like, how did you just decide to, when did you get the balls to be like, we're hiring, we're growing?
Well, first it started off with one assistant, you know, and that's when you start to see, oh, wow, like this does work, right? And then from there it becomes, I hired a coach. So when you're in high school and you're an athlete, you have a coach for a reason, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's somebody who knows a little more than a specific subject than you do, right? So then what happens is you hire a coach and that coach was like, okay, you need to start hiring more people. And they tell you things to do and things that are uncomfortable, such as you need to stop taking 1003s. You need to stop talking to your real estate agents. You need to pass that off to a loan partner. You need to hire somebody. And you're going, I already have 2 people. How am I going to add a third salary? And you want me, the best person in the whole entire world, to stop talking to my clients? I don't care who you are. The best way that I can put it is Ronald McDonald's does not put his own French fries in the fryer, correct? Right. It's just a model for success that other people have built. And you have to be able to execute that. Once again, you have to be able to execute that, right? Because a lot of people don't execute it. So it's the same thing with loan officers. I mean, you're a successful loan officer. You know what to do, right?
Yeah.
You hand that model to success to another loan officer and they don't do it. And I'm like banging my head against the wall going, I'm literally giving you a 6-figure job and I'm giving you the model for success and you're just not executing it. And so it comes down to what Catherine said, being uncomfortable, you know, being comfortable with doing the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's just executing all of those things that you hear, right? So it's taking a little bit from this person that you like, a little bit from that person. And slowly it just ended up becoming what it is, right? So I was able to let go of and not
trusting,
talking.
Trusting the people you bring on. That's hard, right?
For sure. And then you have to be able to fire if it doesn't work out, right? And so I have I think my whole time that I've owned the business, I fired like five people because they just weren't working out. They weren't doing what I needed them to. But as you grow, you know, you learn from other people, you execute the things that you're supposed to do. You learn how to build trust. You put technology into place, right? So for these four, some of the things that they do is they stay on a video camera all day long. Even though they're in different offices, they can see each other. So that way it's not like, well, what are they doing in that office? So
there's always a video going?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Honestly, it's not a, you know, and that's kind of like probably what people think. Like it's a like, oh, like what are they?
Yeah.
No, it's, no like it's, a, just, it's like, hey, Catherine, you know, somebody's on the phone for you. So you can see if Catherine's already on the phone. Like, so you can just take a message, right? Like it's an efficiency thing.
That's what I was going to say. It's very efficient.
Like, yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's not something I've heard about before when you have separate offices.
Yeah. And honestly, like...
It's just
they crush it. They don't mind it. They don't, you know.
It's like you're still in the office.
It's like we're still in the office.
Yeah.
Like
we're still together, but you're not.
Yep.
Yeah. And some people think of it that way, like, you know, you're micromanaging what I'm doing. No. Like, that's not
it. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then, you know, all of that is well and good, right? You can do that. But then if you're not treating your people correctly, that's when they're going, are you micromanaging me? Are you, like, what are you doing? So, again, it comes down to the people, not the profit. I would like to think that they get rewarded very well, right? So there's no specific time off. Like there's no, okay, you only get 2 weeks of vacation. You got to go pick up your kid this afternoon. You've got doctor's appointments.
Do we
got
to?
At this point, for a while I've been telling them, but I think this year that they've finally understood it. I no longer run the company. I don't make decisions. They do all of that. They do 100% of that. Last year I took them to Puerto Rico. They went to AC with me. They can take off as much time off as they want. Like as long as they're doing the things that they need to be doing. And this year I've really given the reins over. I'm like, guys, like just go market however you want to market. Go figure it out. Like, here you go. This is an opportunity for you to grow as a person, to figure yourself out. What things can you put into place? You know, I'm always telling them, you know, if there's holes somewhere, plug them, plug those holes. And I just believe that that's my role at this point is to really develop them, make them better people, not just personally, but professionally for their friends, for the family, for their peers. And that's what it's come down to.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. When we talk about people over profits is like, oh, he just puts in some nice culture and that's great. No, you just gave them the power to live their own life like you're living your own life. And you can see it how they're saying they want to work hard so you can live how you want to live. And you're doing the same thing right back to them.
Yeah.
It's a true partnership, really.
It
what
is.
You guys
it's
have going
word.
On.
It's a partnership. It's a total partnership.
There's a business aspect of that too, right? Like, I think everybody is kind of coming around to the idea that, like, as wonderful and amazing a loan officer, really, Dre is, right? Like, he only has a certain number of waking hours in a day. So, like, that's the only way this thing scales, right? The only way this thing grows is not, you know, for Andre to go out and try to land, you know, X more relationships and grow a business, right? It's to establish a culture that attracts, you know, people who can get into, you know, becoming a loan officer, and then we grow the business that way. You know? So there's a business aspect to that as well.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Never been our, you know.
Well, the business aspect kind of falls into place when you have the right.
You take care of the other things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just how you just got to trust it and let it fly, which is tough, right? I mean, the most throwing Todd Bitter aside, if you know Todd.
I do.
I mean, if you're an LO, really, I mean,
freaking.
I mean, he's a lunatic.
That's insane.
But I always said like 100 to 140 units a year is what an LO can do on their own. Like that's the max is what I'm saying. The total max before you just totally burn out. And I've been there. You know, I've done my 100, 140.
What did
no
he do?
Assistant.
240?
Well, yeah, he did like 250 or whatever it was.
250 loans by himself. No processor, no help, nothing.
Now, he has a different model. He only does a certain type
loans.
Of loan. Like, that's it, you know? Which, that's a whole nother. You have to have some balls to just be like, no, I'm not taking this loan. Boom, boom, boom. But imagine if he did. But that's how he likes to do it. And that's the beauty of being and the broker, if we dive deeper. You can make it how you want to make it.
Yeah.
You can make your own culture.
Yeah.
You're not finding this type of culture at other at other lenders. I don't see it.
Good.
Maybe in the broker world, you might find something that correlates to this.
And that was
but you're not seeing this.
That was part of it. And I mean, I think we could all kind of tell, you know, when we joined up with that national lender that seemed to have, you know, a really close culture fit, right? Mm-hmm. I think after a little while, you can kind of tell, Dre has a passion for his people, first and foremost, right? So in that confines of, you know, him not necessarily being that business owner, and Megan, by the way, wonderful mm-hmm. person, the same way, like wants to take care of her people, right? So as soon as that kind of like the reins came away from them to be able to like, okay, like I want to take care of my people this way. I want to do these things for my people. I want to love on my people in this way. Mm-hmm. And him not being able to do those things and Megan not being able to do those things. I think you can kind of tell like that's where they started to get an idea of like, hey, the culture is one thing, but my ability to kind of, you know, do things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's cool. I picked up on it right away too. Like I called Dre out on it at one time. I was like, dude, I get it. I understand. It's not yours like it used to be. And I think that was kind of like an aha type of moment, I think maybe for him. Could be wrong, but.
And what's really cool, what I'm seeing too, is we haven't talked about anything mortgage related.
You don't want to talk about a 560 FICO, that deal you got going on?
No, I don't. I mean, but that's this is a true business. You. This is a true family. You know, talking about the details, and I think a lot of people get caught up in the details. I'm one of them. Like, we have a couple of loans kind of weird right now. It's what I'm thinking about. I'm like, I got to get that. Blah, blah, blah. But you have the right culture. It's not as stressful. You know what you're going to get it done. You'll get the next one. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. All right. Well, we got like 2-3 minutes left. Great. All right. I always ask. Well, I got like 2 questions.
Okay.
And we'll come back to Dre if you guys want to jump in.
All right. And I'll ask you a question.
Where do you see the future of the industry going? Anybody? Because technology is moving quicker.
I don't think we'll exist by next year.
Get out of here.
That didn't worry anybody, right? No.
3-5 years. What do you see?
So you briefly touched on it. I mean, history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Right. And B, there's a place for everybody. Right. So brokers aren't going away. I don't think anything is going to change. Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to, you know, how bad do you want it? How much are you invested? So the best example I can give you is I'm broker 100%. I'm never going back. I don't really care what, like, I know now for sure that 10 years into being a broker, mm-hmm. this is who I am, right? And so I'm going to continue to invest in my company and our people and what we do. So I don't really, it has no effect on me what fintech does. Yeah, fintech will take a percentage or mm-hmm. of business, but it's going to be for those, and pardon me if I'm offending anybody, but yeah. Fintech is going to take those 1 or 2 man broker shops who don't build relationships, right? Who don't understand the meaning of building a mm-hmm. true business, right? What yep. I'm doing is I'm building a business based upon relationships, based upon who we are, what we do. The future has no, I'm not really worried
not
about
worried
the
future. About.
What about you? Where do you think it's going?
I'm in agreement with you. I think there's always going to be the same type of players in the industry. I think technology is only going to help out the loan officer to become better to advise the client mm-hmm. in a much better way.
That's a good way to put it.
Advisors are never going to go away. You have yeah. to be an advisor. I'm sure you guys all know that. Yeah. Like you said, the 1 or 2 man shops that are, you know, buying leads, just throwing yeah. shit against the wall. But yeah. they've always kind of fizzled out anyway. Yeah. And nothing's going to change. I'm not concerned about it.
Same.
All right, someone that is looking to scale and grow and have something like you have, mm-hmm. where you have this family, this love and respect for each other, getting each other's back. What's the first step someone has to do, like in your position, or anyone can chime in? Like, what do you think that person, that LO that needs to scale, what do they have to do to have what you have?
I mean, the first answer is super basic. I don't know if it's the answer you're
basic.
Looking for.
Basic.
I am
bitch.
A basic bitch. Have you seen my Uggs?
Dude, I got some sick Uggs too.
Exactly. Right. So you're basic too.
I am. And that's all, folks. No, okay.
Thank you for coming to my podcast. thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah.
I mean, the first answer is hiring an assistant. Is that the answer you're looking for? You're looking for something deeper.
I would like. Well, I mean, yes, but that. Yeah, it's more. I want to go a little bit deeper. Because I really want to hit on this type of family that you have right here and how to get to that. I know that's a tough question.
It's but definitely it is hiring. The first step would be to hire an assistant and pour into people without having the reservation that they may one day leave you. Pour into them, love into them, give them everything you have, right? Because some people hold back.
People don't go all in.
They don't.
I'm one of them, man. Like I've had too much PTSD or trauma with hiring and with people that leave scars, little scars. We'll call
it. Good job scooting right past that.
Yeah, I try, man. I'm pretty good at that sometimes.
To be transparent, I think is what brings us all a little bit closer together.
Yeah.
We take. We feed off each other. We were able to, three out of the four of us were able to, you know, be in Puerto Rico for a week without like going at each other's throats. We get along very well.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, a unique group. We tell it like it is.
I was gonna say, yeah.
We don't have.
In love. We take criticism lightly.
Yes. Yeah.
We take it to heart, but we take it lightly.
Mm.
We're not, where it's not to be like, oh, hey, you screwed up. It's a, here's what's happened. Let's learn from it. Let's grow from it and get past it.
Okay, let's do it. Like, we have each other's backs, and that's all thanks to him. Like, Catherine and I knew Andre even before he was, you know, famous. And so to speak, famous social media.
From a bit of a higher level perspective, from what Dre was talking about, like, so hire an assistant, right? And, you know, like, I worked for places before. I worked for Dre too, and had to do hiring for them too. But take a chance on the person and the intangibles that you see. So when we talk about that person who is just going to do it, who's going to get stuff done, who, you know, you can feel that sense of loyalty from the sense that, you know, I can pretty much, anytime we've hired somebody and have had like real success, it has not been about like, well, you know, this person has X number of years in lending and in the mortgage industry and, or in real estate, or, you know, be willing to take a chance on the right person.
Mm.
If you are the loan officer or the leader that you should be, like Andre said, you should be able to pour into them everything that they need from an industry perspective. So like I said, take a chance on the person.
I love it. I just wrote down the three things I got from this.
And I got one more answer for you. So, you know, you asked, how do you get this way? And they keep saying, you know, we learned this from Andre. You got to get a coach. Like, you've got to get somebody who's better than you. You've got to hang around. I mean, you already know this. You got to hang around high-level people.
Mm-hmm.
As a 22-year-old, my brain was not did not operate this way. As I grew, I had to hang around people who knew more. I had to get a coach. And all of these people poured into me, and that's why I've been able to pour into my people, right? And I think that's the secret is, you know, giving out what people give to you, and it's the only way to continue getting it is giving it back.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel to make this work.
No, don't overthink it, right?
Yeah.
Genuine, yeah.
So go all in, be transparent, and what I got, take a chance on the person, not just what their past was.
Yeah.
Take a chance on the person. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Get out of here. There it is. Keystone Alliance, the whole family. Love you guys. That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.